come this evening for a tough reading to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in every thing. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the blood, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. But no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord the church. Chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons for him. I want to read another passage in the Gospel by Luke in chapter 2. The Gospel by Luke in chapter 2. Gospel chapter 2, and reading from verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him, by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him, after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eye hath seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, and Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary, Bless them, and said unto Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts should be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and had lived for her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I would like this evening, by the help of God and by the help of His Holy Spirit, to try and interest you and retain your interest in this last days of the meeting, especially on the filling of the Holy Spirit and on how to know that you're led of the Holy Spirit. Now, I feel that these matters are very, very important, but I feel that every true child of God is being in the body of Christ. They're really anxious. They're really anxious to know when they are led of the Holy Spirit and what marks a person that is filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, it has been so distorted in our day that we must be able to speak with tongues or do healings or do something of a miraculous nature before we can ever claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I read in the Ephesian epistle to show you just the context and the things that are mentioned where the filling of the Spirit is introduced to us. I want you to see the things. They may seem to you quite ludicrous. They may seem to you the most far-fetched things. But to me, it is the core of the whole matter. Now, the filling of the Spirit has nothing at all to do with that which is remarkable. But it has to do with that which is very, very normal. And I want to stress this upon you. I know it might have quite a shock upon you, but I really mean that to be so. So that you might understand that the leading of the Spirit is not knowledge, it's not gift. It's something that is open to every true child of God. But every true child of God has the indwelling Holy Spirit. And every local assembly, as being the temple of God, ought to have the Holy Spirit as its president. You see, we have been listening through with profit to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we also want to be just as clear that the Holy Spirit is also a divine person. We do not subscribe to the belief that the Holy Spirit is an influence. We believe that He is a divine personality. By that, what we mean is that in the Godhead there is no inferiority and there is no superiority. There is a diversity of operations, but they are one and the same. So I do want to plead with you this evening that we give way and give sway to the Holy Spirit of God. Now, what I discovered in the passage is that it covers every spectrum of human life. For instance, we generally think that the Holy Spirit of God is taking everyone into a sort of ecstasy. Well, that may be so. But what I want to say to you, that once a man is filled with the Holy Spirit, be he filled to capacity with the Holy Spirit, not drunk with wine wherein is excess that leads to debauchery, but be he filled with the Spirit. You know, there is only one baptism of the Holy Spirit, but there are many fillings of the Holy Spirit. Now, in our meetings, we're very strong that there is only one baptism. But we seem to tremble because of our condition, that there are many fillings of the Holy Spirit. You know, it would be lovely if the Holy Spirit was given His true and proper place, not only in the church, but in our lives. And you know, the Spirit does want to operate. I want to prove that to you before we go home, so don't be thinking you're getting home early tonight. But I do want to show you that the Spirit of God wants to operate in every life. Not only are we members of the body, but the Spirit of God wants to move within us in a yielded life, in a committed life. The Holy Spirit wants to fill us to capacity and to use us for His glory. How beautiful it is that the Holy Spirit of God touches our, in a variety of ways, our expressions of joy. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. You know, this is a personal experience. I know that it can be seen corporately, but this is a personal experience. Now, I'm not thinking about chorus singing, hand clapping, excitement. That's not what I'm thinking about at all. But what I am thinking about is this. That a man that has the Holy Spirit of God, he has a soul, and he has joy. Oh, I know his tears, and I know there's many difficulties, and I know there's lots of valleys. But isn't that a beautiful thing, that God has given us in the variety of life experience. Now the Spirit comes in and we can sing psalms. That's experiences. Hymns and spiritual songs. These are growing experiences. And through the many experiences that we live, there is the expression of our song. Sometimes I think the singing in our meetings are just shocking. No, I'm not suggesting we need a choir, or we need solos, or anything like that. No, that's not what I'm saying, but I do think that if the Spirit of God was moving within our breath, there would be a rising in our soul, in happiness and joy. Oh, I think the singing of the Lord's Supper should be a way beyond class. I really do. You know, I was ill for a long time there. I'm not wanting you to know I was ill, because that's the truth of the Bible too. It's only to bring a point into you. The first time I arrived back at the Lord's Supper, or even at the ministry meeting on Sunday afternoon, the greatest shock to my sister was, I couldn't speak. Not that I couldn't speak, but I couldn't praise God. You know, one of the signs of a Spirit-filled soul is that he's got an expression in his heart, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns as spiritual songs, making melody in your heart, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Do you know why there's poor singing? It's because there's something wrong with your heart. You know, it's not thrush like nightingale voices that we need. It's a wee bit more heart. I've been sitting for a long while listening to the preachers. I'm usually preaching. Do you know what they're lacking too? A little bit of heart. I know at conferences every other Saturday, and do you know what the preachers are missing too? A little bit of heart. Well, it's all technical. It's all good for the preachers to listen to. It's all great stuff, you know, but, oh, I never feel it. Making melody in your heart. That's something without meetings. Without men, without friends, without anything, making melody in your heart, answer the Lord. A Spirit-filled soul will have this constant desire to make melody in his heart, answer the Lord. I noticed in the passage it teaches submitting yourselves one to another. You know, the Spirit-filled soul will be a submissive soul. I'll not be craving. He'll not have a yellow streak in his back. He'll not be a coward. He'll not be a yes man. He'll not agree with everything that you say to him. But there'll be in him a submissiveness, a bowing to other people's judgment, an appreciation of other people's searchings and diligence, a submission one to another. Well, I know that younger have to subject themselves to the elder, and I know that children have to subject themselves to their parents. But this is a subjection, one to another. I think it's a sad reflection on us, when people who have been in the meeting a long time throw rank on other people. I think if we were spiritual, you see, we wouldn't need to throw rank on anybody. I hope you've got that. But what we're missing in the meeting is being spiritual. I know there will always be carnal people, and I know also there will always be natural people among us, sinners and Zion as well. But what I'm saying to you is this, that the Spirit-filled man will always be this submission in him, to bow to teaching, to bow to other people's contributions, submission one unto another. In the passage it teaches that the Spirit-filled soul will have a grateful heart to God, and will always be praying, and will always be giving thanks, and will always be filled with gratitude. There's a strange phenomenon in meetings. That's when you meet a grumpy man or woman. How strange it is to meet someone sour. To meet someone that's vinegary. To me it's the very opposite to all that it's about. I don't mean it's opposite or smiles day and night. That's not what I mean. But what I do mean is, there's a gratitude goes up from the spirit in heart. Not only a melody. Not only a submission of mind, but a grateful heart unto God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful relay. This is what a spirit filled. Maybe you're there already. You never thought you were there, did you? Or is it wonderful to tick them all off like a checklist? I've got a soul. I've got a submissive disposition. I've got a grateful heart for God. These are not difficult things. That is in the context of the spirit-filled life. You know, the spirit-filled life in the five of Ephesians goes into the matrimonial state. Oh, she's somewhere not there, does it? Yes! The Bible speaks about wife being in subjection to her husband. And I want to tell you that if you're not subject to your husband, you're not a spiritual person. Now, I see some of the young men smiling. They're very pleased about that. You know, there's something I want to teach you. You know, in the Bible, Paul says, Barnabas and I not a right to read about a sister, a wife, being a Cephas, and mother of the apostles, and the Lord's prayer? Every man should look upon his wife as Christ before she is. Now that would add and ennoble and dignify the marriage state. I don't know whether I told you this, but I read it in C.T. Studd's book, you know, the critics of the game will be always money. They did those things in England at one time. In Scotland, he was taking his wife down from the coach, and he took her by the hand to help her down the step. And the Scots people, being as ignorant as they are at times, they thought he was taking this politeness back too far. And they quizzed him on it. That's what he replied. You see, she is Christ before she was mine. She's a sister, a wife. She's a sister, a wife. It's the spiritual relationship before the natural relationship. Now, wouldn't that really erase things and the tenor of things and the tone of things in our meetings? Now, someone says, and I can hear them maybe shouting it up, they say, but no, Sarah called Abraham Lord. But you know, Abraham treated Sarah like a princess. And if every man would treat his wife like a princess, then there might be a strong possibility that she might even yet call him Lord. But it says, even Sarah called Abraham Lord. Do you know what that meant there? I know that even is in the italics, but it simply means that intellectually, morally, and spiritually, she wanted evil, and yes, she should have said herself to her because that was the will of God. You see, I know that you'll never have your back possibly after saying this, but I want you to understand, I want the women people to understand, that the will of God for them and the economy of God and the purpose of God for them is the best thing for them. That is, it can't be improved on, and taking that subjective place to your husband, you're taking a subjective place to Christ. It's not a matter of superiority or inferiority. There's other passages that are the same in the Lord. That is the will of God. That is the spirit-filled soul. Wise be in subjection to your husband in everything. In the Lord, of course. You understand? In the Lord. We're talking about levels of spiritual experience. We're talking about filled with the Spirit in the Lord. Husbands love your wife. You know, the thing that the husband has to do is to nourish. That means it's to eat, supply, and eat. That is the right for it. That is what for it. That's what that means, nourish it. Nourish it. Now, is this old fashioned nowadays? You nearly hear them saying you'll never be back. May I tell you this, that it is divine order. It is divine order. That's why we've got latchkey children. That's why we've all the things that we've got. Young man came to me and said, Mr. McPhee, could you help me? I've been going to get the children for the Sunday school. He said, the little boy says, you don't call me Stan anymore. I said, I remember when he was proud, and I remember when he was young. Don't
Don't call me stupid anymore.
What a day we live in. We think we know better than God, but we've been wrong and we've been proved wrong.
Ah, God knows the order of life. God knows it's wise for us. Wise?
Yes, to your husbands.
Husbands, love your wives.
Nourish them. That's provision. Cherish them. That's affection.
Don't be nicer to other people's wives than you are to your own.
And don't be more complimentary to other people's wives
than you are to your own. Understand that your wife, the Bible says, she is the wife of thy youth.
She is the wife of thy covenant.
If there was a greater regard for these matters, there would be a higher morality amongst us. Spirit-filled life has to do with present enjoyment in the soul.
Has to do with submission of spirit. Has to do with gratitude of heart. It has to do with matrimonial relationships.
And that's all to do with nerves and shrieking and singing and
rolling on the floor. It's all to do with normal life.
What a wonderful thing this is. Children, obey your parents. Well, this is right. I like the ring of that. This is right.
My parents are not always right, you know. But neither are you.
Every one of you young chaps is looking up to me. I want to give you a little cup. You're going to find out that your father made a better job than father as you are of me. Your father. Your father's a good servant. He had more character, stability, backbone than many men that I've met in my son's own life. Say that I never once grieved my father. I never agreed with him. I worked with him in a coal mine. To work with men in a coal mine finds out what you are and what they are.
I used to tell them, you're wrong, father. The book says this. The college says this. The thing says this.
But eventually I just bowed out. I don't grieve today. I have no grief today about being disobedient to my father. Maybe you're asking for fellowship in a meeting, young man or young woman. You respect your mother. No place for you in God's assembly if you don't respect your mother.
Hard at times, difficult, but other men have done it. And the Spirit of God has filled their life.
Wives, subject to your husbands.
Husbands, love and cherish your wives.
Children,
obey your parents. Well, this is right.
It brings in that beautiful commandment.
Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The first commandment. But from sure of this, we were mentioned today by Brother Tom, about sowing and reaping.
You dishonour your father and mother, and it's only a matter of time till you're dishonoured.
It has got a boomerang effect in life.
You dishonour the elders, you'll never have credibility anymore.
For a spirit-filled life is nothing at all about these things that make you high. It's all worked out in the private life and the ordinary run of human experience. Does it go into industry? Servants, be obedient to your masters. Listen to this with fear and trembling.
Though we don't believe, I don't know about the others.
We don't believe that Jack's as good as his master. We don't believe that. We believe the scripture sets out that there are masters and there are servants. These are divine laws. There are fathers and there are children. There are elders. There are shepherds and there are sheep. It's divine in its conception. Our wisdom, our happiness, our future is dependent and acknowledging these matters.
Be filled with the Spirit. I want to come to things that are softer. Things things that are more touching. We're all conscious of the Holy Spirit of God didn't move in that public way, as He does in the New Testament. But beautiful things are still said. It says that Simeon came into the temple by the Holy Spirit. How strange that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, not even Easter. Don't ask me at the back, I don't understand it. But it's a beautiful thing. Here's a man, and I want to show you, not only the filling of the Spirit and its effects, I want to show you what comes out by being led by the Spirit. Now, time is our greatest enemy. Verse 22 commences with the presentation of Christ 40 days old. His mother comes in with two things to say. She couldn't tell the difference. Two pigeons had to be young, or two turtle doves. It was the accommodating God that brought the poor that had come in. You know, in Israel, anybody could go out and get two pigeons. Such was the thoughtfulness of God that pigeons always lay two eggs at a time. Did you know that? That's good for the show. No need to look up chambers or nothing for that. Such is the thoughts of God that the poorest could always come to God. He didn't have a big bullet for a ram or a goat. He'd always get two back. You know, when Envy brought two doves, one was for a sinner, one was for a book. When Mary brought the sin offering, this is what she said. This is what I am. When she brought the burnt offering, she says, this is what I ought to be. I find that's my life. You might think it's a very circumscribed life. But that's what I find. My life just goes round about those two things. What I am, what I ought to be. Some people feel that in the burnt offering there's nothing at all to do with sin, but I don't hold that. You see, it shall be an atonement for his soul. Did you know that the very lack of devotion is a sin in the sight of God? So it's the presentation. You know, as she brings them in for someone else, his name is Simeon. It doesn't matter where you look, that name always means, from his very mother's, from the first mother's mouth, Simeon is here. You know, a spirit-led man has got an aptitude. You hear it. He never finds ministry meetings dull. He never finds the ministry too long. Or too loud. This Simeon, hearing. How do you think all the brothers get to know things? They listen. The spirit-led man is a hearing. He's a listening man. Not only so, I noticed that there was a man in Jerusalem. Some people try to tell us he was a priest, but we've no real credentials for that. We've no evidence for that at all. There was a man in Jerusalem. Hearing. He was in the right place. At the right time. You know, a spirit-led man will be in the right place. It is a big wonder to me, and I do value the Christian expression of other Christians that don't gather with us. But it is a wonder to me that people can find God's will. It's a wonder to me that they know so much and they read so much, and yet they can't see in the New Testament the gatherings and gathering for the Lord's name. Now that's a difficulty. Let me come here with you. There was a man in Jerusalem. I do pray that everyone in here is convinced for sure that they're in the right place. I hope you didn't come in under the auspices of mommy and daddy's exercise. I
hope it wasn't the place you were brought up in. I hope that you don't believe, like many that I hear, is the best of a bad lot. I hope you don't go about dropping like that.
I think that's quite strong, really. There was a man in use.
Can you see a little bit further? It says he was just...
Oh, here's the spirit then.
He was just as man would. He was devout.
That's the onward. Please don't tell me you're led by the Holy Spirit if you're not just. And please don't tell me you're led by the Holy Spirit if you're not devout. That word devout is rather odd nowadays, isn't it? People in here know what better than I do, but there's a loveliness about it. You used to say in my boy, it was very devout. You used to say to him,
are you just... What I mean is, are you fair in your judgments of people?
Doesn't matter their class, or their race, or their age.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing in your judgment, deep teachers. Don't be biased. Don't be biased because he's a preacher. Don't be biased because he's rich. Don't be biased either because he's poor.
But judge righteous judgment.
He was just before man.
He was devout before God.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Not only so,
he was waiting for the consolation of Israel.
That just simply means that he was exercised.
He was exercised about the coming.
There is no word here that he knew. There is no word here that he knew that Christ was born. Christ is born in Bethlehem. This is 40 days afterwards.
But this man is exercised about the consolation. You see, he viewed the coming of Christ as a consolation.
He viewed the coming of Christ as a comfort. He knew there was no comfort to the nation except the coming of Christ.
Are you exercised about the coming?
I tell you, 30, 40 years ago in England, it was more mentioned and more talked about and more sung about than it is tonight.
I'll tell you, a little touch of penury and poverty would soon bring it back again.
I don't know just how many people in this hall would really love to go to heaven. Are you exercised about it?
Say, someone, it would be lovely to go.
Aye, that's just about our level of thinking. We're looking forward to going away from this old weary world. That'll not do either, brethren.
Now, the most times that the coming of Christ is mentioned is in relation to his manifestation.
Are you looking forward to the manifestation? You know, the spiritual minds in this meeting know what I'm talking about. What I really mean is this, the day when he's manifested. The day when he's vindicated.
The day when this world looks on the man that they rejected.
I wonder if you're looking forward to his vindication and his glorification. Oh, the wonder of that.
He was exercised about the consolation. This is the features of a spirit-led man. He's exercised. Not only so, I noticed that he was a vessel that the Holy Ghost could communicate to. He was a vessel the Holy Ghost could communicate to.
I do forgive me. If you're worldly, the Holy Ghost will not communicate through you.
If you've got worldly desires, worldly ambitions,
now I know we've got to live in this world. I can assure you, they that are of the world, they speak of the world. Tell me this week, have you ever spoke of Christ? Have you ever spoke of Christ to your wife?
Have you ever spoke of Christ to your children?
You know, one day they might curse you for not doing it.
I want you to be serious. This man is serious.
the Holy Spirit of God could communicate with him. Did you notice the Holy Spirit of God had such confidence in him? Doesn't the Spirit lead Christ into the wilderness in Luke's Gospel? Absolutely confident that he'll come out the same way as he went in, untarnished. Has the Spirit of God confidence in you? Can the Spirit of God reveal truth to you? To someone, I need my books, I need my library, I need my magazines, I need my daily cleanings, I need my choice calendar.
I think I would be of all men most miserable if the Lord didn't give me just a little grain for my soul.
Just another little view of Christ by the Divine Spirit. I think life would be a misery without that. Can the Spirit reveal things to you? Has he confidence in you? These are the features of a man that's led of the Spirit. You know, there's something else I feel very... Sometimes you feel a kind of strangled feeling telling the people these things.
You know, this man knew that the purpose of God was linked with his life.
The purpose of God was linked with his life. It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't see death until he had seen the Lord Christ.
Most people in here love to think about the Lord Jesus as their Savior.
Well, the Holy Spirit of God said to this man, you're not going to die until you've seen not the Savior, but the Lord's Christ. I'm going to allow your eyes to feast upon him that God has feasted on from the uncharted eons of eternity. I'm going to let you see the Lord's Christ. Do you know the end of a Spirit-filled life?
Do you know the end of a Spirit-led life?
It is a clearer view of the Lord's Christ. You see, when you pray, I don't know what you pray about, but I often pray before I get to heaven that I might see another facet, another hue, another colour, another avenue of the blessed person of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it is the Spirit's work to reveal Christ to the soul. You will not see death until you've seen the Lord's Christ. There was a man living in Jerusalem that had a guarantee, a copper-plated guarantee, that he wasn't going to die. Let us just take it a little bit further. The Spirit of God will lead him in a public life. I mean, I was going to say his religious life, but that would be far-fetched. In his public life, he coming into the temple at that instant. Did you know, brethren, that the Holy Spirit of God should be leading in every facet of the church? So someone, don't come and try and change things here.
I think we should change things if we're wrong. I think if we're wrong, we want to be right.
I was speaking with a brother just the other week there. I was telling someone last night, the brother was opening the meeting, he was all tremendously fussy about the time and who was going to speak first and who was going to do this. You know, it's all arranged, you know. Well, the brother and I had decided anyway, but when he come down, he says, well, brethren, you know, it's just like an army officer. Well, brethren, what's going to happen? He says, I think we'll leave it to the Holy Spirit. He says, we've never done that here before. Oh, then in a flash he saw his mistake. Good man.
Why not? We've made a bigger mess of the thing ourselves. With all our arranging and all our ways, we've not made a good job of it. I know there needs to be order.
Let all things be done decently and in order or by arrangement. I know that. But there ought to be a feeling of, and the knowledge of the soul, of the presidency of the Holy Spirit of God. Why do they want to change the Lord's Supper now? Why do they want to arrange that? And now they tell me someone presides in the prayer meeting and tells Mr. So-and-so to pray and the other one to pray. And then they tell Mrs. So-and-so to pray.
Oh, there is no one so real, so blessed as the Holy Spirit of God.
He coming in at that instant. I want you to see too that it was after they had done according to the law of the Lord. It was after they had done according to the law of the Lord. You see, being led of the Holy Spirit will synchronize with the law of the Lord. You see, some people tell us, oh, I'm led of the Holy Spirit, I'm guided, I'm exercised. You know, these words that they use. Sometimes when they say, I'm led of God, they make me feel as if I'm a backslider.
The Holy Spirit of God will never lead us outside the realms of the authority of the Word of God.
They never conflict nor contradict
after they've done everything according to the law of the Lord. Oh, that these secrets could be learned. You know, the Spirit not only led him into the temple, gave him to acknowledge the law of the Lord, but the Spirit gave him discernment to know Christ. The Spirit gave him discernment to know Christ. Oh, brethren, I believe this is the ultimate. Can you discern Christ on the ministry?
Can you discern Christ coming through in the gospel? Can you see in a man, hear in a man's prayers, the honour of Christ? This is what it's all about. Nothing less will do.
The Spirit gave him discernment to know Christ. And the Spirit can make Christ good to every soul in this room.
That's why we are so dull. That's why we are so naked in the nakedness of the land. It's because we are not led of the Holy Spirit of God. Did you know that we can only claim sonship in Galatians when we're led of the Holy Spirit? And we'll only move in sonship and responsibility when we are energized by the Holy Spirit.
Gave him discernment to know Christ.
Gave him the impetus to embrace Christ. Then took he him up in his arms. Oh, don't come to any more Lord's Suppers with intellectualism and knowledge and words and P's and Q's and G's. Oh, come with Christ in your arms. Close to your breast. We'll get the heat of it. We'll feel the warmth of it. We'll never want to leave it. Oh, the Spirit of God teaching this man how to handle Christ, how to draw him close to his breast, opens his mouth to cry in thanksgiving. Don't come with little prayers that are hackneyed, that we've heard for years. Come with Christ. God loves it. You love it too. We all love it. I love it. I care not who does it. Whether they're preaching or ministering or giving thanks. I love it. I care not whose mouth it comes out of. I love it. God is honored. Christ is honored. The saints are blessed. The soul is filled. Led of the Holy Spirit to grasp who he is, to adore him, to embrace him, to love him. Says someone, I'm awful bad at the speaking. Oh, I know you are. You're bad at the speaking till there's something going for you. You'd have got to that post office in Crawley or up to Winchester, £1,000 just for saying a few words, I tell you.
you'd be standing up there hours before the time. Ah, to get language to adore Christ. I hope it's not foreign to you. I really hope it isn't. You know, the man that's led of the Spirit will get a view of all nations. He'll not be circumscribed, you in your small corner and I in mine.
A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of my people Israel. A blessing to all nations. The Spirit-led man sees beyond his own corner.
Are you missionary-minded? Every one of you should be missionary-minded. I'm not talking about knitting socks. Do you really care about people? You never get me listening to anybody talking about being missionary-minded if they're not missionary-minded in their own street. Don't you talk about missionary-minded if you don't do a little bit at home. Don't you go preaching anywhere. That's why there's nothing done anyway. You do a little bit at home. But have this big night. All nations. Beautiful, really. Views of all nations. You know, the Spirit gave him desires to depart. Now, Lord, lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh, he's the Lord's Christ. But he says, thy salvation. You know, the greatest thing that's going to happen to us all is the time that we depart. Whether it's out of this little life, or through the avenue of the rapture, what a moment that's going to be. You know, he saw the Lord's Christ in his humanity. But you know, it's our objective to see the Lord's Christ in his coming glory. And you know, the eye hath not seen, there are three mediums through which things come to you. The ear, the eye, and the heart. Eye hath not seen, ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. I know that's the unregenerate man there. But these are the three mediums. It's beyond our comprehension what it's all going to be like. And what a wonderful thing, I think best of all, will not be so much our exaltation but his. And the beauty of the Saviour, oh, the beauty of the Saviour, the Lord's Christ, the beauty of the Saviour shall dazzle every eye in the crowning day that's coming, by and by. Oh, somebody says, I'm not caring about a crown. Well, I just knew some of you weren't caring anyway. You know, I'm caring about a crown. There are seven. I'd like to get one of them anyway. There's an old hymn that's sung among the Irish. And they fall at his feet, and the story repeat, and the lover of sinners adore. Just to have a crown cast at his feet. Just one. One for a preacher. One for an elder, one for a martyr, for the seven of them in all, I'd love to get one of them anyway. May God have mercy upon us and give us again to retrace our steps and in meeting life to understand that there is such a thing known as the presidency of the Holy Spirit.